Well, I got something I want to share with you here. You remember here recently, we had several prophecies. At least a couple of them were pointing towards March the 17th for an earthquake. And a guy named Henrik Wickstrom had sent Kerry Kilmainen's revelation to us. And it fit with several others, even concerning the Golden Gate Bridge, which is the area that was going to be hit. And Henrik said that this man was the most righteous man he'd known and was a very proven and accurate prophet. And we read that revelation here on the air, and we sent it out along with a few other revelations concerning that. And but we didn't get to hear all the story, you know. The story has grown since then. Of course, we know the earthquake didn't happen on March the 17th. But we have dozens of places in the Scripture where God had mercy because people asked for mercy and reminded God of saving their loved ones and so on and so forth. Well, I've got one story here of a lady that lived in that area who was seeking God diligently because she was afraid that there was going to be an earthquake that particular weekend, and so she was praying, and I want to share that with you. But also, Kerry himself had said in his revelation that there is still some possibility that the Lord will give a little delay. That was what Kerry had said. And of course, we know that it didn't come to pass, whether you believe it was a delay or not. But we had one or two before the delay, that it was going to be delayed, at least two, and several since then. Well, Henrik sent this to us. He said, Kerry called me about an hour ago, and he told that the Lord woke him last night and showed the American flag in a vision. It was March the 16th. On our side of the globe, just a few minutes before midnight, he prayed for 2 hours and felt that judgment will pass this time. This is in accordance with what he'd seen before, since he said that there is a small possibility that those events will pass. Just looked at your site and checked what others has seen, and it was really a close call this time. We have a merciful and long-minded God. Well, let me share Maria Arango's revelation, which she sent us. And as March the 17th was drawing nigh, she was praying. She says, I live in Farmersville, California, and I had been hearing a lot about the Great Quake. And I listened to Michael Boldia and then found your website. And there's a lot out there about this quake, and I began to worry because of the March 17th, 2007 prophecy. So I fasted and prayed, begging for some kind of a message, and also confirmation and discernment. That night, I dreamt that I was sitting on a chair, and someone was sitting in front of me telling me all of their toils and troubles. And when the person was finished, I looked over to my left as if I was looking at an invisible computer screen. And a rectangle appeared with the word recommend on it. So I touched it, and it flashed, and then the word delayed appeared. So I looked back over to the person in front of me and said, there, you see? The odd thing was that I was saying those words as I was turning my head, but I woke up before I actually looked at the person again. I was surprised by this dream, and I thought to myself, wow, that was odd. It was very late, and I went back to sleep. And immediately I dreamt that I was standing straight up and looking up at this big clock on the wall. And then, instinctively, I took a step forward and then to the right as if I was walking on a clock on the floor. Step forward was to step on the 12 and then to the right clockwise and all the way around the clock until I reached the 12 again, and then back to the center. And then I woke up. And I've been praying about this for a while, and I haven't gotten an interpretation, but I felt peace about the March 17th, 2007 date, so I didn't leave town. Glory to God, she got an answer from God, didn't she? That it was going to be delayed, she got peace, she stuck around. Thank you, Father. And she sent this, Bob Accardi was the first one to get this, I think, and he said, we have thought about this prophecy of March 17, 2007, that it was indeed delayed by the Lord. This walk around the hands of the clock seems to speak to me that this may, as it was the year prior to 9-1-1, be telling the saints the same thing. That is, for us to watch for this event of judgment to take place or occur in March of 2008. 12 months later. Well, that's a sure possibility. You know, I mean, around the clock, 12 to 12, it could be. You know, 12 hours, 12 months. It could each hour represent a month. So I don't doubt that a bit. I wrote a little note here when it passed through me back to Maria. I wrote a little note that I said, Bob might be right about this. And another possibility is that since 12 hours is a half a day, and according to Daniel's 70th week, each day is a year, 12 hours could be a half a year. So that's a year and a half a year we got here, folks. So either way, we're getting more and more delays here. Maria's comment of, there, you see? It's kind of like, I told you so. We had some I told you so's out there because we had at least two that there would be a delay even before the time was up or before the day came, actually. We knew it was a delay. I felt really strong it was a delay, but we did receive a little persecution from some folks that do not believe that God does that. You can go to our site on the Dreams and Visions page, those of you out there that haven't already received this through our e-list, and on our Dreams and Visions page, one of the top articles there, I think it might be the top article there, is about prophecy, delays, I don't remember the whole name to it. But let me share something else with you here. Okay, Bill Rowe prayed about this time, you know. Bill Rowe prayed for Anna's hamster, who was dying, not moving, not eating, not drinking, so on and so forth. And the hamster revived and was healed. And the same Anna got a word, which was, I believe our Lord may have said, the extension is Easter to Easter. Well, that's a year, right? The extension. And about that time, we got a couple of revelations from people about extensions. Okay, so we're not sure about this, whether this year-to-year extension is for the hamster or for the West Coast. At any rate, we'll just hang on to see, won't we? And we got a word from Steve Wilkins. He said, look at Ezekiel 14 and 14. Where David pointed out the scriptures that say God will not delay a judgment anymore. Well, Ezekiel 14:14 says, you know, he gave two delays, and then he said he wasn't going to delay anymore. Now, Ezekiel 14:14. And I got a real witness in my spirit that when I saw that Ezekiel 14:14, meaning 14 plus 14 equals 28, is prophetic for 2008. No more delay for the judgment on America that will fulfill the scriptures in 2008. Well, that just might be so there, because that kind of fits with that year thing, doesn't it? Or possibly the half year. But Steve really believes that July the 8th, 2008, is going to bring a judgment in San Diego. The Lord, he has a revelation about that. I haven't had time to really study it. Y'all pray for me, because my time has been totally gone. Between all the things I've had to do, and I would like to look at it, but I haven't had time to. But here's one that we got also before the 17th by John Taylor. And this was on the 16th. And he said, last night I found myself in that state between being asleep and being awake, and I heard a voice in my head. The voice said, after 2 days, I will shake the very foundations of the earth. As you know, they prophesied this to be a very bad earthquake. Okay. I will shake the very foundations of the earth. Well, now, after 2 days, let's see. Let me read a little bit more here. It says, I went on to say other things, but I cannot remember what they were. This was after midnight, so it was actually this morning when I heard it, and it was 3 or 4 sentences long altogether. Okay, 2 days, that would be the 16th and the 17th. After 2 days would put it after the 17th, right? So, once again, this is a revelation that it was going to be delayed. It will be after the 2 days, okay? Anyway, there's several of them. I heard a couple today from brethren who told me that they, after the 17th, got a revelation that prophecy was true. So, you know, folks, sometimes you have to wait. Let me share this with you. Back, well, how long ago was that? It was in 2006 that we got a prophecy from a couple who were prophetic. And there was a date there, but it worked out that the date wasn't for the whole prophecy. The prophecy was very long. The date wasn't for the whole prophecy, but it was for part of it. It worked out that way. But the prophecy was about the Golden Gate Bridge 2 being struck. Okay, it seemed to be a prophecy that was going to happen over a long period of time. Well, there was something else that the Lord spoke to me about after it wasn't fulfilled in the letter or in the flesh. Because there was a revelation, a vision there that submarines were shooting at the Statue of Liberty. And one missile, the submarines had Russian markings on them, and one missile went through the Statue of Liberty and it keeled over to the left and fell into the water. Well, we didn't know whether a terrorist attack was going to come on the Statue of Liberty or what, but the Lord spoke to me sometime after that was fulfilled and being fulfilled right now. Because there's a covert war going on. If any of you read my book, Hidden Manna, on the site, there is a covert war. You know what submarines are, right? Underwater. Covert warfare. You know? There is a covert war going on against this nation. One thing it's going to cause is a loss of liberty. It is causing a loss of liberty. Number two, it caused liberty to fall to the left. You know what? What happened to our government? I wrote this back then, that this could mean a fall of our government to the left. Boy, did that ever happen. Okay. You know, the prophecy, you know, many times when you get a prophecy like that, your first thoughts are more fleshly and more materialistic. And the further you go and it's fulfilled, you begin to see it's spiritual, and you are seeing it in the letter. I don't know how many times this has happened to me, folks, but it happens to some people worse than it happens to me, because I at least have a little bit of background in the spiritual interpretation of things. But a lot of that was fulfilled, and some of it's still going to be fulfilled. And you know what? When we got that, now listen, when we got that revelation, and the part of it that was going to be fulfilled on a date, we got that revelation, and that date went by, and the Statue of Liberty was still standing there. You know, there were some folks fell out with us. I'm going to tell you what's wrong with that. There were people that fell out with us. There were some people, a few people, that just kind of departed. I mean, the E-list, some people, just a few. Our E-list is very large now, but just a few people, you know, departed about that time. And, of course, we thought, maybe they weren't feeling so good about that, okay? But here, when this last one didn't happen, I think Brad told me there were like 6 people or so, you know, got off our E-list at the time. So I'm seeing a pattern here, folks. I'm going to tell you what the pattern is that I see. I see that some people get angry when they don't see these things fulfilled, but they don't stick around to hear what comes afterwards. And they don't stick around to find the story of other people who even before that had revelations that it was going to be delayed. They don't stick around for that. They get mad and they leave. Well, of course, if it's people that like to get mad, you want them to leave, don't you? A little leaven leavens the whole lump. If you got critical, angry people and they're judging you over something like this, hey, let them go. The Lord knows. And I told Brad this last time. I said, the Lord knows. So I'm seeing a pattern here. But I'm also seeing a pattern of this. The Bible says, let me read this verse to you. 1 Corinthians 4, 1 through 5. Paul says, let a man so account of us as of ministers of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. Here, moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. But with me, it's a very small thing that I should be judged of you or of a man's judgment. Yea, I judge not mine own self, for I know nothing against myself. Yet am I not hereby justified, but he that judgeth me is the Lord. Paul's conscience was clear. He didn't know he was willfully obeying, disobeying in anything. So, of course, the Bible says to him that knoweth to do good and doeth not, to him it is sin. So, at any rate, it says, verse 5 says, wherefore judge nothing before the time. Did you hear that? Judge nothing before the time. Until the Lord come, who will both bring to light the hidden things of darkness and make manifest the counsels of the hearts. Then shall each man have his praise from God. Judge nothing before the time. These people in both cases judged too quickly, didn't stick around to find out what the Lord would say about it. And if there was a delay, and that most of them don't even know that the scriptures is very plain that God does this. One place in four verses, some people say God doesn't change his mind that quick. God, in four verses, God changed his mind in front of Moses one time, and in eight verses, he changed his mind one other time when he promised judgment on the people of God. He's going to wipe them out. In Isaiah, prophesied death to Hezekiah. Hezekiah asked for mercy before he got out of town, or out in the middle of town, as a matter of fact. God said, go back and tell him the opposite. And Joel is the story of God's delaying the judgment of the Assyrian army upon Israel. And Amos, in just one verse, got God to change his mind. Amos chapter 7, twice God reneged on what he said he was going to do. What he prophesied he was going to do, he reneged on it. And the third time he said he was not going to do it anymore. Judgment was coming this time. We've got stories in the Bible of the greatest prophets we have. The greatest prophets that have ever been having these. Now, if you judge these people according to the law, I'm telling you, you're going to be judged according to the law. If you judge them according to the law, you're going to be judged according to the law. The Bible says, and maybe we'll cover this a little bit later too, but the Bible says, for instance, in 1 Corinthians 14, and 29. Let the prophets speak by two or three, and let the others discern, or judge, or discriminate. Right? Let the prophets speak by two or three. Well, in their assembly, in the Corinthian assembly, the prophets would get up and share their revelation, and other people discerned it. There's no hint that they brought them under the Old Testament law concerning prophets, because prophets in the New Testament and prophets in the Old Testament is totally two different creatures here, folks. You don't judge people according to the law. If you did, you'd be stoning almost all of them. First of all the prophets in the Old Testament would have been stoned to death according to the law if you were applying those verses to them, but God never did apply them to them. He never applied those verses to those prophets in the Bible that we know are true prophets, yet they had prophecies that didn't come to pass. Because they were delayed. Okay. Prophecies can be warnings. Prophecies can be warnings. They can be predicting of the future. And they can still be delayed. Okay. God wants a result out of people. He wants repentance. or he wants a cry for mercy, or he wants a reminder of what he said, like Moses did, what he promised to the forefathers, or what he promised to you. You stand strong on your faith, you will change prophecies, folks. I'm going to tell you right now, it's happened to me. My death was prophesied twice, and people who had dreams that were consistently good had dreams that I would die. And you know what I said? I don't accept that, Lord. That's not what you told me. You said, by his stripes I was healed. I'm holding firm to that. You know what? He changed all of that. So I know about changing prophecies. You want to change prophecies? You stand on the Word of God. You cry out for mercy. You repent. You'll change prophecies. They did all the way through the Bible. Okay? Here's another thing, folks. Let the prophets speak by two or three and let the others discern. In the assembly, they let them speak. And the other prophets discerned this. They discerned these prophecies to find, of course, see if they were good, see if they were prophesying in part, which the Bible does teach, and I have seen many prophecies in part, okay, to see if it was prophesying in part. So, the prophecies were shared with the congregation. Now, let me tell you something. We got a congregation here. I'm not talking about just the local congregation. We have a much broader internet and radio congregation. So, am I supposed to judge all these prophecies? Or am I supposed to put them out for the prophets to judge? To tell you the truth, I've never really felt qualified to judge all prophecies. And yet some people are holding my feet to the fire as if, if it don't come to pass, it's David's fault because he put it out there. It don't work that way, folks. I don't have any authority to not let the prophecy, unless I just know right off the prophecy's no good. I don't have any criteria in the Bible to say, no, this prophecy can't go before the people. It says here, let the prophet speak by two or three and let the others discern. So I do what the Bible said. We get feedback on these prophecies, either that it was delayed or correction or something. We get it back from the prophets. Look, we don't have a lot of prophets here where I am. Our prophets are out there on the internet. Our prophets are out there on the radio. They call us. They contact us. They tell us things that they got, either confirming, rejecting, adding to, more, less, whatever. Okay? And, of course, when we get those things, we share them with you too. Okay? So that's what we do. Now, it also says, let the prophets speak by two or three and let the others discern. Who's discerning here? Prophets discern. Do we all discern prophecy? Yes, the Holy Spirit can give us discern, every one of us discern. But who's the one judging here? It's the other prophets. Why? Because they have the gift. God uses them to discern the prophecy and make their comments and their revelations because they have the gift. They have a close gift of discernment from the Lord. So a lot of people that judge, they're not prophets. They're not called to judge prophecy. And none of us are called to judge before the time when the Lord brings to light the hidden things of darkness, the things we don't know about. Our false interpretation of the prophecy in the first place can be wrong. Okay? Or we may not know that the Lord heard somebody's prayer and said, okay, I'm going to delay this, just like he did in the Bible many, many, many times. Okay? Now, that's not against the prophet when God delays it. Now, if a false prophet speaks a false prophecy that doesn't come to pass, of course, in the Old Testament, that's the guy that got stoned. Okay? But also, God told us, wait and see. If it doesn't come to pass, okay? And, of course, he's talking about whether it's a true or a false prophecy if it doesn't come to pass. But then we have many, many prophecies in the Bible that didn't come to pass because God himself said they weren't going to come to pass, not because man gave a false prophecy. So, I mean, we have to rightly divide the Word of God. And in the New Testament, if you judge somebody according to the law, then you're going to have to go ahead and stone all the people that prophesy wrongly, okay? And you have to make sure it's not a delay, okay? But we should not be judging our brothers when we don't know. God doesn't speak to us. Just because God didn't speak to you doesn't mean he didn't speak to somebody. When we put it out there, let the prophets decide. Let them judge. Let them tell what the Lord is telling to the, speaking to them about this. Now, we've gotten some prophets giving us back some pretty good feedback here. I don't have a lot of it written here, but I've heard from several people that heard from the Lord that said that was a true prophecy and it is still going to come to pass. Okay, and these people don't have anything to gain because their prophecies weren't among any of them that we shared, nor did they prophesy on the 17th. So they don't have nothing to gain. But they got revelations from the Lord that this is a true prophecy. Okay, so be careful. And let me just remind you of a couple of more things. If you do have something against a brother and you think he has sinned, Matthew 18 and 15 tells you what to do. Okay? Nobody is above this law. If thy brother sin against thee, go and show him his fault between thee and him alone, and if he hear thee, thou hast gained thy brother. If you got something against someone, you go to, and it may not be against thee. Let me read this to you again. If thy brother sin, against thee was not in the original. There's no numeric pattern in it at all. It's not in the ancient manuscripts at all. So it says, if thy brother sin, go show him his fault between thee and him alone, and if he hear thee, thou hast gained thy brother. Now, number one, folks, what is sin? Sin is not a mistake, a misjudgment, a lack of discernment. If you know to do the will of God and don't do it, that's when it's sin. That's what the Bible says. Thank God he doesn't judge us for ignorance. So be careful if you judge somebody that's doing something in ignorance. Frankly, I'm still quite convinced that we were right concerning this and that we were right to put it out there, because now we're getting feedback back that, yep, sure enough, it was delayed. Again, people we don't even know have no reason to stick up for us in any way are sending us this back. Okay, and another thing, folks, 1 Timothy 5 and 19 says, receive not an accusation against an elder except at the mouth of two or three witnesses. Okay, receive it not. Don't let anybody cause you to disobey that by passing on something that they have against an elder without two witnesses that he sinned. Okay. Don't let anybody cause you to do that, because what they're doing is they're making you sin. Those are the two cornerstone verses for keeping peace in the church right there. They're the most common that I have known throughout the years that have been disobeyed. Don't just sit there and listen to that garbage. Get up and walk out. Don't receive it.